morning, quite a few things going on. The Lot speeches left. Did you see that? They were not mad. Jamie's water broke. Hello. So who knows what we're going to do? What's next? We're having that happening these days. And, you know, then there's other folks that are out of town, on vacation. Some are not feeling well, all kinds of different things. But in a little while, not too long from right now, Michelle Tackett's going to get baptized. Yeah. And so I will rise up. There's a stirring. I'm pretty excited about that. So many things going on in the summer. People are here and there. And yet we're talking about turning points. And I'm going to talk about one more in my life today. Next week, Jeremy will talk about that. And we'll have different people speaking through the summer about turning points in their lives. Now, this is not like I was headed, you know, I was not necessarily had to be the prodigal son in the pig pen. And I turned around, even though some of us have been there, right? And that could be your story that you want to share. But this is just like God did something in my life. I heard something. I read something. I had some experience and he turned me back. I was kind of drifting and I was turned toward God. So that's what this is going to be about. And so that's what will happen today. I'm going to talk, and in our class, we're talking about Jesus crying. And I'm betting pretty much for sure I'm going to cry today. So if that bothers you, tough. Okay, let's pray before we get going. God, we love you. We want to love you more. I pray that today you would speak to us, each one, in our lives where we need it the most. In Jesus' name, amen. We were born into a world of trouble. Say amen. Amen. Now then sometimes we're going to say amen, and then sometimes we're going to say score. So that was definitely an amen, not a score, okay? So we were born into a world of trouble, and pretty soon, even as toddlers, we became part of the trouble. Amen? Not time for score. And the trouble in our lives and in our world has spread. We got trouble in our world. It's trouble. And at times, the trouble seems overwhelming. And there's going to be a moment where that trouble ends. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The day the trouble is over. We're going to talk about that today. Now, a disclaimer, first of all. This sermon is not about escapism. It's not about the fact that heaven is a place where we're going to escape to get away from trouble. As a matter of fact, us as children of God, as followers and disciples of Jesus, the problems like pain or suffering or hate or despair, we as Jesus followers should be like firefighters who run toward the fire, right? We should be like that toward the problems. We're going to run toward the problems, praying all the way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're not talking about just like we're going to get away from our problems, because right now we're here, we're praying, we're living. God, let your will be done in me right now as it is in heaven. And let me be that kind of person. Let me be the kind of person where when we show up, the kingdom of God advances, right? Amen. Where you work, where you live, where you play, where you vacation. Now that we're thinking about vacation. When you show up, the kingdom of God advances. Right now. Score. Yeah, that's a good. Sal. Score. And so I'm going to read a little bit from Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis. He helps me make this point better than I do. So I'm going to read a little bit. Okay? Kind of lean forward here. This is C.S. Lewis. Okay? The Christian says, this is in his section on hope. The Christian says, creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. For instance, a baby feels hunger. Well, there's such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there's such a thing as water. Human beings feel sexual desire. Well, there's such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably, earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it. But those earthly pleasures were meant to arouse it, to suggest that the real thing is coming. So I must take care, on the one hand, never to despise or be unthankful for earthly blessings, and on the other hand, never to mistake earthly blessings for something else of which they're only kind of a copy or an echo or a mirage. I must keep alive in myself the desire for my true country, which I shall not find until after death. I must make it the main object of my life to press on to that other country to help others do the same. Now, there is no need to be worried about the facetious people who try to make the Christian hope of heaven ridiculous by saying, I don't want to spend my time in playing harps. That little accent I added, not really in the book. To those folks, we say, if they cannot understand books written for grown-ups, maybe they should not talk about them. Ouch. The idea is that heaven is real, that heaven is coming. And when that day comes, all of our desires will be satisfied. But long before I had ever heard about C.S. Lewis, song lyrics placed the notion of heaven in my heart. Now, I want you to think about song lyrics in your past as growing up kids where song lyrics spoke to you. Here's one for me. I wanted to sing this, but I didn't. Yeah. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Songs, you bring me some songs, some different ones. I did this with Mom and Dad last night. They were popping them out. Heavenly Sunlight. Mom and Dad had a little discussion about that, wondering if that was really a song about heaven or about living here, thinking about it. Okay, but that's good. It is Well With My Soul. Amazing Grace. Other songs. Say who? I Want to Be in the Light. I'm not sure. Yes. Other, anybody else? Heaven songs. Songs about heaven. I'll Fly Away. Some Glad Morning. Anybody? One more. Anybody? I'll Be There. Amen. So there were these words that were planted in my heart as a kid. And there was many, many more, right? We could go on and on. And we kind of just did. And then there were the words of Jesus and Scripture talking about an eternal home that is full of indescribable joy. And one of the things about all the good stuff that happens to me right now in my life, it always seems to be over too fast. You ever have that season or that moment or that time, and oh, that was awesome, but oh, it's over. And the promise of heaven is, this is going to be awesome, and it's not over. Oh, this is great, okay? And it's indescribable. You can't really put your head, but so Jesus, the Scriptures try. So here's a few Scriptures that, again, pointed me towards heaven. Jesus, to his disciples, at the end, his last evening with them, he says, my Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. That is such a great promise. That Jesus, he's going to go to this, he's going to leave this earth, But he's going to prepare a place, and he's going to come get me, and I'm going to be with him. Okay? Just say it. Score. I'm going to be with you. He's gone to prepare a place for me so that he's going to come get me, and he's going to take me with him. Okay? Now, I want you to think some of that taking me with him requires me to leave this life. Okay, you with me on that? And so much of the time, we're dreading that. We're watching it come. I'm watching it come. I'm watching my body decay. I mean, it's not bad right this minute, but you know, any second now, I'm going to fall over. And some of us, we struggle with our bodies. We struggle with sickness, disease, and health, and aging. My body is decaying. There's things it could do yesterday it can't do today. But Jesus says, hey, I'm going to come back and get you. And that moment is approaching as I see my body decaying. Well, here's another one. So we don't lose heart when bad things are happening. Paul's saying this to the Corinthians. Hard things are happening to us, but we don't lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I always had an argument with Paul, I still kind of do, because some of the troubles I'm going through and some of the troubles I watch you go through do not seem light or momentary, right? I mean, we want to, it is the everything in us. We are struggling, and the struggles are real. But Paul's seeming to say that, okay, yeah, it's bad. It's and some of the things he's gone through is worse than some of the things we have. He says, in the worst of it, when you compare that to how awesome the next life is going to be, it doesn't compare. That kind of blows my mind. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And if the earthly tent, he's talking about this body, is destroyed, we have a building, a new body, waiting for us in heaven. Paul keeps going in Philippians. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We await, we are longing, we're waiting. We're like at the station waiting. I hate flying. I'm going to fly out to New York on Thursday. But when we're going, you go to the airport to leave, and you see people, they're all ready to go. They're all ready to go, right? They're all packed with their stuff. They're ready to go. They're going somewhere. They're ready to go. This is him saying, that's who we are. We eagerly await a Savior. He's going to come get us. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, he has the power to bring everything under his control. He says that he will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Awesome! What a promise! I mean, this is me. If I had a different body, if I could have the body I choose, it would look different than this. There were several things about it that you already know me. Those of you who know me, you know that my new body would include some other things. One would be, bam, I want some hair. Score. Brandon Lodge speech type, that'd be great. That'd be great for me. I would like to be a little taller. If I would have been 6'2", I would have been in the NBA. That's all I needed. I had the rest of the skills if I'd have just been a little taller. You know, I just want, but the promise is I'm going to have a new body, and it's not just going to be 6'2 with hair. It's going to be like Jesus' body. What? Is that a real promise? It's going to be like something, and I think he's saying there's something beyond your imagination. And there's more. So, here's me, as a kid, as a young adult, I'm good. I'm waiting. I was sold on heaven already. But in the 90s came the turning point for me that turned me from just being sold on heaven to wanting, seriously, I would love to go today. If we went to heaven together before we got to the swimming pool, that'd be okay with me. Right? Okay? Not a lot of scores there. But anyway, here's where it happened for me. Well, and it was in the 90s, and here's how it went down. In 1985, I was I transitioned from football coaching. Y'all understand how that happens? And I became, at ACU, the assistant to the president. Well, one of my duties as assistant to the president was to direct an ACU summer camp called Kadesh. And when I first did that first summer, 1985, we had 1 week of camp, and there were 99 campers. By the early 2000s, there were 7 weeks of camps. There were double camps each week, and we had over 2,000 campers. So that's kind of what happened in the next decade. But something else was happening. During the 90s, the song, There's a Stirring, kind of became a theme song of ours. In 1992, Ann Herring wrote the song. Cademan's Call covered the song, and that was the one we kind of did. But There's a Stirring became kind of the theme song. And let me tell you, at Kadesh, the singing was awesome. And there's 200 to 220 campers, high school kids. There's 40 or 50 adult leaders. And then there's people who just would show up from the neighborhood. And we're all sitting in the ACU's amphitheater. And those guys would just belt it out. There's a stirring deep within us. And so this was going on, and the message of this song just sunk into me. And it began to give me a deeper understanding of almost all the scriptures that deal with heaven. But at the core of these eternal communications about heaven was the point of my relationship with God, my eternal relationship with God. Right now, we're feeling pretty close to each other, and there's people I love them, but this is going to be a moment where my relationship with God gets even deeper, more personal, right? And this is going to happen in this moment. So the thing about heaven is the place itself is going to be great. The Bible suggests that it's going to be really great, but it was the promise of this personal, intimate relationship with God that was really, really appealing, really pulling me. But just a thought first about the place. I want to say something about the place where we're going. Here's some things about the place. And this is a short list of things that will not be in heaven. And this is good news in itself. There's going to be no cancer. There's going to be no addiction. There's going to be no starving children. There's no people hurting other people. There's no war or murder or violence or hatred. There's no loneliness. There's no depression. I want to go to a place like that where that's gone. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's no regret. There's no betrayal. There's no fear. There's no death. Here's what it is. Heaven is a place where everything that was wrong will be made right. Okay, think of that again. Heaven is a place where everything that was wrong will be made right. Thank you. Now, some of you may be this person. I've been this person before, but I want you to quit being this person. The person who says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why, blah, blah, blah. Let me say, no, you won't. Yeah. When you get to heaven, everything is going to be right, and you're going to have this aha, oh, I get it, to all your questions. And it's not that some of your questions aren't good right now, but when you walk in and you're with the Maker, it's going to be plain to you the answer to your question that was really important today. And I'm telling you, some of our questions are very serious. They're right at the heart of some of our deepest sorrows, some of our deepest joys, our hopes, and then our fight with hopelessness. I get the questions. I have some questions too, but here's what I know. When that day comes, I'm standing face to face, I'm going to know. The answers will be clear. I won't have to ask. And so, back to actually the song. And by the way, the handout, which you guys got one, and I'm coming to it. The song itself. The lyrics, there's a stirring deep within me. Could it be my time has come? When I see my gracious Savior face to face when all is done. When you think about this, it's all done. It's over. Now, a lot of times that happens right in a hospital room, on the highway. My dad's 89. If I was betting, I'd still bet he dies on the highway instead of in the hospital room. Wish that wouldn't happen, but I don't want him to die any kind of way, really. But there's going to be that moment when I'm face to face. And then, is that his voice I'm hearing saying, come away, my precious one? Is he calling me? So this first question, oh yeah. Where is he calling me to go? Where are we going? Come away. He says, come away, my precious one. First of all, that's a good thing. He's calling me precious. But second, where are we going? I don't know for sure, but it's with him. In John 14, he says, you know, I'm going to come back and get you. I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to come back and get you so you can be with me. So let's go. Come on. He's like, I'm taking you somewhere. Come on. Is that his voice I'm hearing? Come away with me. I'm hearing him say, okay. And I want to say, okay, here I go. You know, I'm holding on tightly to his hand, but I'm wondering where we're going. This is me dying. And so can I celebrate death for a moment and say, when that happens, I'm going to hear that voice. And he's going to say, come on, Bob, come with me. Come with me. Where are we going? We're going with him. And then it says, these incredible, great lyrics to me. It says, I'll rise up and then I'll bow down and I'll lay my crown at his feet. So what is our crown? Okay, these are the lyrics there on the screen. And then, so what crowns are we going to lay at his feet? Here's my suggestion here. Here's my suggestion, my crowns. All the best things in my life, God has given to me. They all come from God. In some way or another, every good thing comes from God. Every good gift, every good thing comes from God. Every relationship that's good, every feeling that's good, every activity that's good, it's come from God. And all of these great things, everything I've done in this life, as it has come from God, I'm calling that's my crown. That's my crown. The crown is all the good things that I've done, that I've experienced, that have happened to me. That's my crown. And what am I going to do with that? I'm gonna do this right here. Watch me. My crown on my head is invisible. Okay, but you see it, kinda. I'm gonna bow down and I'm gonna lay that crown down. And I'm gonna lay that crown down at his wounded feet. So this makes my mind skip to Revelation chapter 4. 4, 5, 6, and 7. These four chapters in Revelation bring me to the song, There's a Stirring. And here's how it goes down. In this scene that John is seeing, in this dream he's having, he's writing about it, and in front of the crown of Jesus, in the throne room, this scene is in the throne room. And first of all, John sees this scene in the throne room, and before the throne of God is 24 elders and some four really creatures, it calls them. And I think each one of these creatures represents a different part of life or things that are alive. And so all of these things are bowing down at God. and there's spirits before him. And it says, and before me was what looked like a sea of crystal glass, just as clear as glass. And I also think about the song, you know, but I'm going to lay my crown, but never mind. I'm going to read to you. This is what's going on around the crown, around the throne of God. And this is me as I have come away with God. He says, okay, I'm calling you. Come away, my precious one, and here's me. Day and night, I'm watching this happen. Day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will everything was created. And so this moment where the song lyrics from the song Holy, Holy, Holy remind me again, mixing in with the scriptures, holy, 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 all the saints adore you, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Yeah, this is happening, and I'm part of it on that day where he calls me. But then there was another song. There was another song. And there's a question. Well, before I get to that, why are his feet wounded? Let's just answer that question first before we go to the next song. Why are his feet wounded? What? Yeah, he was crucified for me. Because he loves me. He loves me. And he died for me. And I'm putting my, he's on the throne and I'm laying my crown down. All the good things, I'm saying, yeah, but none of the greatest things in my life compared to you. I'm laying them down at his wounded feet. And then this next experience. So this was going on in the 90s. And camp is still happening. And I'm still directing camp. We move into the 2000s. And in 2002, the summer of 2002, the theme for camp was going to be hope. And one of the youth ministers who was always coming to camp and bringing campers with him and serving as one of the group leaders, his name is Stephen Carazell. And Stephen, in the fall of 2001, sends me a CD. And in the CD, he says, listen to this. And I'm driving down South First in Abilene, and I'm with Jan Meyer, who is the reason all the camp got big is because of her leadership. And we're listening to this song we'd never heard before. And that's when we first heard the song, I Can Only Imagine. Do you remember where you were when certain big things happened in your life? I can remember exactly where I was on South First Street, driving down, listening to that song. And by the time we had just gotten to the first time through, and you know it goes through several times, I knew this was going to be a song that was going to change not just my life, but many other people's lives. And so I already had this relationship with There's a Stirring, and this song, I Can Only Imagine, just enhanced that. And my desire to be there, I want to go. I want to be with Jesus today. I want to go. And what is it going to be like? I don't know, because I've read the scriptures. And sometimes the scriptures, they help me, and sometimes they're just so confusing. And so I don't know. The song ought to be, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. What is heaven going to be? I can't even imagine. But it's the same thing. I can only imagine how it might be on that day. And so as I began to think about heaven and the desire to be with God and answer them, come with me. He's saying, Bob, come with me. Where are we going? Just be with me. And then I hear this song. And I think, what am I going to be like? What it's going to be like? And what am I going to do when I get there? And so we're going to listen and sing this song right now. We're getting ready to go. But the idea of this song even moves into the next slide, and I'll talk about this. And the idea, well, we'll get to that after. Well, I want to hear us, and we'll sing together, okay?
Is forever.
So that scene in Revelation chapter 7, it goes like this. After I looked, there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Imagine yourself in that audience, in that crowd. And they were standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches, and they were cried out in a loud voice. By the way, you're going to be in that crowd. We're going to cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And then one of the elders came up to John and he asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" And I said back to John. John says back to that elder, he says, "You know. Sir, you know. Don't play with me. You know the answer to this question." He said, "Yes, there are those who have come out of the great tribulation and they've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's us." Verse 16, "Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst, and the sun will beat down. No sun will beat down on them, no scorching heat. For the Lamb is at the center of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This moment, I can only imagine, we're surrounded by his glory. So I want you to think, you know, what is glory? We're overwhelmed by his glory. We're surrounded by it. What is glory? It's this magnificence, this beauty, this brilliance. It's better than we can describe. There's not words that can describe glory. And then something even more incredible happens. We're caught up. We've come away with him. We're caught up in this big crowd. We're all worshiping. And then we hear the words that we have longed to hear all of our lives. All of our lives. "He calls my name." And there's this huge crowd, right? But he calls my name. And I stand in front of him face to face. And I know myself. I know my junk. And I know that he knows. And he looks at me. And there's a look of joy on his face. A look of excitement that he's so excited to see me. It's like the father and the prodigal son. He is excited that I've showed up. I'm there, and he says to me, "Well done. Well done." I don't deserve no well done. I don't deserve well done, but my hope is built on nothing less than his blood and righteousness. And I stand faultless before the throne because of his blood and his righteousness. As I'm standing faultless before the throne, he looks at me with love and says, "Bob, well done." And I can imagine you. And I can imagine, I so clearly can see my dad standing in front of Jesus. And Jesus says to my dad, "Well done." And he says to my son, "Well done." And he says to you, "Well done." So there's this song, because these songs were all turning points. There's a stirring. I can only imagine. Well, there's one now that's out called "Well Done." It's by a group called The Afters. And we're just going to listen to it next. I'm going to read the lyrics to you. But this is where I want to go. It's where I want to be. And I want to be there, like I said, today. So if something happens to me on the way home to Abilene, you can be sad and sorry that I won't come eat any more banana pudding, Betty. But trust me, I'll be good. I'll be good to go. Here's the words of this song called "Well Done." What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name and that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting my whole life to hear you say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful one. Welcome to the place where you belong. Well done. Well done, my beloved child. You have run the race and now you're home. Welcome to the place where you belong. What will it be like when tears are washed away and every broken thing will finally be made whole? Oh my gosh, I'm going to read that again. What will it be like when tears are washed away and every broken thing will be made whole? What will it be like when I come to your glory, standing in the presence of a love so beautiful? I've been waiting my whole life for that day when I live, and I will live my life. I will live my life to hear you say, well done. What will it be like when I hear that sound of heaven's angels crying out, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, waiting my whole life just to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful one. Let's listen. Maybe not. This morning I was driving over and had these three songs on repeat. So, you know, I was a mess. And so it got time to turn off of I-20. I just kept going straight because I was lost in here. But I pray this is where some of these songs might take you to a place too, where you're just lost in the love of God, in the promise of God, that it will not be long till we'll be there. And that'll be a good day. Amen? Whatever. That'll be a good day. And it won't be long. It won't be long. One of the things I pray that we will grow in our longing for home. It isn't. Yeah, it's you, Betty. If Jesus would be calling anybody in here, it'd be Betty. Throw it out. So, and that here's the other thing, that our longing for home would change our lives, the way we treat other people, the way we think about our time and our resources and our energy, that we're not building a kingdom or a reputation or anything, a legacy for ourselves, but instead we're just trying to honor God, knowing that soon we'll be home. Every day is a new beginning in some ways, and each day is a new beginning. Today, there's going to be a special new beginning, and so that's going to be when Michelle Tackett gets baptized in just a few minutes. And so I'm pumped about new beginnings. Michelle has given her life to God already. We've seen that as she's grown up. Amen? We've seen that. But in a kind of mysterious, special way, she's living the life that she wants to follow Jesus. And she wants to follow Jesus, and part of that following Jesus is being baptized. And again, in this mysterious thing where she goes into water and up out of it, and something happens. Life. New life. Just like, and then every day, it's a new start. It's a new beginning. And as she makes that kind of commitment and that kind of really statement about who she is and who she wants to be, we're all invited. And the place to go is in the bulletin. So read that, and we'll be good. In the meantime, we're headed home, folks. We're headed home, and that's going to be good. Let's pray together, and then we'll go. God, we thank you for your love that you have planned on and you've prepared, and you're ready for us, and that someday soon we'll be at home in your presence. And that'll be good. In the meantime, God, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray your kingdom come in our hearts. We pray your kingdom come in our families, in our church, that your kingdom would come and that we would chase after you with everything that we are. We love you. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's folks.